Hey, Chevra, last time we learned, we spoke about King Rechavam ben Shlomo and how Rechavam, Shlomo HaMelech's son, basically does not really act properly, at least according to the way the Navi describes it here in Sefer Melachim. The result of that is that Shishak, who is also known as Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, comes and attacks Rechavam and takes away the golden shields that had been made by Shlomo HaMelech, and Rechavam replaces these golden shields with some bronze shields. And we pointed out like that the way Rechavam is presented here in the Divrei HaYomim, it sounds like he's keeping these bronze shields in under lock and key, which is very interesting. We also noted that the presentation of Rechavam ben Shlomo, although it's somewhat negative, but Lamaisa, the Psukim and Divrei HaYomim say that Rechavam listened to the Navi Shemaya, which is a very good thing. It's sort of a mixed bag when all is said and done about Rechavam. Rechavam dies, and the Pasuk says that Rechavam is succeeded by Aviyam, who is the son of Rechavam. And that's really where we pick up here in Perek Tesvav. Somehow the top line of these sheets got cut off. Why this happens, I don't know. We'll blame it on the printer, and etc. So the Pasuk, what we'll do tonight, Belina, there's we'll talk about Aviyam, the son of Rechavam, and then we'll talk about Asa, who is the son of Aviyam. Now there's the next two kings of Yehuda. And we'll try to contrast, like we've done in the past, the story as it appears in Sefer Melachim with the story as it appears in Sefer Divrei HaYomim, which I give you on page 3. Again, so the Pasuk basically says that in year 18 of Yeravam, Aviyam becomes the king. This is a teeny bit of a problem. Just practically speaking, Rechavam ruled for 17 years. Rechavam and Yeravam begin their rule at the same time. And if Rechavam is king for 17 years, so presumably in year 17 of Yeravam, right, because they start at the same time, so that's when Aviyam will become king. Yet the Pasuk says it's in year 18. Now, this already is a problem that the Mefarshim grapple with. Rashi and the Radak comment that maybe it wasn't 17 complete years, it's a little bit more, and we count it like that. But there is an alternative, Mahalach, which is worth focusing on, which is as follows. The question of succession, both in Malchus Yehuda and in Malchus Yisrael, is real. Now, Malchus Yehuda consistently did something right, which is that you have Melech ben Melech all the way back to David HaMelech. No? But I could argue that wasn't Pashat. It wasn't simple. And maybe the Pshat in having a delay of a year before Aviyam takes over as king, is that maybe the people in Yehuda, after Rechavam like dies, the people say, whoa, maybe this ain't right. Maybe we should go in a different direction, right? How do they say we should push the restart button, or whatever the expression goes. Maybe we should move in a different direction. But Lamaisa, they came to the decision that that Aviyam should become king, and there was a year gap. The Mitzudos actually comments that there was a year gap. He doesn't explain why. I'm suggesting a little bit of conjecture, but I'm suggesting that maybe the year gap is because they really weren't sure if they wanted to continue this line. Again, just to show some of the tension. Lamaisa, achrei kechlos hakol, when all is said and done, one of the major differences between Yehuda and Yisrael, between the northern kingdom and the kingdom of Yehuda, is the stability of Malchus Beis David. Just from a very practical perspective, right? The fact that when someone dies in Yehuda, you know that his son is going to take over. And Malchus Yisrael, like, they have assassinations here, there, and everywhere, and we have no idea, and the king shifts from one Shevet to another Shevet, right? It goes from Ephraim, where Yeravam is from, to Yisachar, where Basha is from, right? These shifts lead to a tremendous lack of stability. In Yehuda, they had the stability, but one could argue that at least at this point in history, it wasn't so pashut that the stability would remain. Again, this is my own svara. If you don't like it, fine. If you do like it, I'm happy.
Could be that they're waiting for the prince to reach his majority?
So that's not so likely, like we'll see in a few psukim from now. We'll see that Aviyam reached his majority earlier. Now, Aviyam, according to Sefer Divrei Hayomim, has a different name. His name is Aviyah, not Aviyam. The reason why here he's called Aviyam, the Malbim comments, is because Yeravam, right? We pointed out that Yeravam had like this obsession with Anna Kohen, right? And he had one son named Nadav, another son named Aviyah, right? And Yeravam, in order not to confuse Aviyah, the son of Yeravam, with Aviyam, the son of Rechavam, it could get very confusing, no? So in order not to make that confusion, we call one Aviyam, one Aviyah, even though they're both called Aviyah in Divrei Hayyamim. Now it happens that Divrei Hayyamim, the confusion is much less likely, because Divrei Hayyamim is primarily a sefer about Malchus Yehuda. So I don't have to worry about exchanging the names. Right, we'll speak in a few minutes about some of these comments. So let's just go on. Pasuk Beis that Aviyam is king for 3 years. V'shem imo ma'acha bas Avi Shalom. His mother's name. This is traditional Malchus Yehuda that you mention who his mother was. Malchus Yisrael, you don't mention the mother. Generally, Malchus Yehuda, you do. According to one opinion in Chazal, Ma'achobas Avishalom is the same as Avshalom, the son of David, which means that this guy has royal blood from father and mother. No? That's pretty good. But royal blood that runs through Avshalom is going to be tainted blood. Avshalom isn't exactly a great hero of the Jewish people. So, again, assuming that this medrash is correct, that Avishalom is the same as Avshalom, so maybe that's the pshat. We'll talk about the mother in a few minutes when we talk about Asa. The pasuk just says that that Aviyam followed all of the sins of his father. V'lo hayalavavo shalem im Hashem alokav kovav David Aviv, and his heart was not complete with the Rabbono Shalom like David's was. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos on Nunvav, the famous Gemara, Kol HaOmer, blank, Chata, Inu Ela To'e. So one of the lines in the Gemara is that these types of psukim don't really indicate sin. Right? If I say that you were not as good as David, that's not such an insult. Right? He was not as shalem. Again, the beginning of the pasuk sounds clear like he sinned. No, he followed all of the sins of his father, and he wasn't like David HaMelech. But the Malbim already notes that maybe there is a tiny, we're taking the edge off of it. We're saying, okay, he sinned, but the sin was just that he wasn't like David. Now, the Malbim's comment over here is that Aviyam's sin is that he is less severe than many of the others, because what Aviyam did was a sin of omission rather than commission. In other words, he didn't remove avodah zarah. But if I am not the beginning of the process, I just don't stop it, that's not as severe. What the Malbim is really doing also is he's trying to level the playing field. When you read the psukim in Divrei Hayomim that we'll see in a few minutes, I hope, the psukim in Divrei Hayomim sound like Aviyam, or as he's called, Aviyah over there, is a pretty good guy. Right? At least, right, at first glance, right, the psukim over there say how he gives them a Musar Shmuz before they go to war. And he says, you know what, the people of Yeruvim, they're over the Avodah Zarah, they're really bad people, and fight against Avodah Zarah, go get them! Right? That's pretty good. Right? So, maybe what they're meant to do is level the field, and he's trying to say, you know what, it sounds like he's bad from the pasuk, but don't read it as bad as you possibly could read it. We'll talk about this in a few minutes. Fine. So then the pasuk sounds like, pasuk dalai, just that the only reason why Aviyam remains king is because of David HaMelech. He's not really a good guy. David was good, but David did one avir, pasuk he says, Rak bidvar uriyachiti. We're not going to speak about this now, but that's also the line in the Gemara, bidvar uriyachiti. The Avdi Nezer actually has an interesting comment in one of his tshuvas, which is based on Chazal, Rak bidvar uriyachiti, mean to say that what David HaMelech did wrong in that episode was the way he spoke. The way he got others to kill Uriah when he sent him to the front lines, It was like an Isser in his words rather than Isser in his actions. That's, okay, not for now. We're not learning Sefer Shmuel. We're not learning about David. There's war between Rechavam and Yeruvim the entire time. This pasuk seems totally out of place. We're not learning about Rechavam anymore. We're learning about Aviyam, his son. Why are we talking about that? Especially because we see from the next pasuk there's a war between Aviyam and Yeruvim. Why are we mentioning this? So the Ralbag and the Radak both comment. Did I give you this Ralbag? I don't remember anymore. No. So the Ralbag and the Radak both comment that effectively, if you read the Pesukim in Divrei Hayomim, here. The Pesukim in Divrei Hayomim say, that Rechavam was very young and he could not really fight against Yeruvim. Where is that? Here, Pasuk, here in Divrei Hayomim, this is Perek Yugim of Divrei Hayomim, Pasuk is Zion. Vayikovtzu olav anashim reikim b'nei b'liyav v'yisamtzu arechavam ben shlomo rechavam hayon na'ar v'rach leivav v'lo hischazek b'fneihem. Rechavam is very young. Now Rechavam ain't so young. No? Rechavam is 41 when he became king. I'm at a stage in life when I don't consider 41 to be particularly young anymore. What does it mean that Rechavam is young? And why is this pasuk over here when we're talking about Aviyam? So the Ralbag has a suggestion that what Rechavam did, or how was Rechavam raised? Rechavam is raised where? Whose house did he grow up in? Shlomo's house. Right? Now, if you ever grew up in the lap of luxury, you know the expression, you have a silver spoon in your mouth? If you ever had a golden spoon with golden diapers, with gold, right? This is someone who grew up in Shlomo HaMelech's home. Rechavam grew up with complete and total luxury. Now, generally speaking, if you grow up that way, are you going to have the ability to go to war and to fight? War means that I get my hands dirty. War means, right, I'm coarse, I'm tough. That's war. You think Rechavam had the strength, right, or had the mental strength, I would say, to go to war? It could be not. And you know who fought the wars for Rechavam? His boy Aviyam fought the wars. That's what the Ralbag says. So therefore, Zuck the Ralbag, we mention that there's a war between Rechavam and Yeruvim, and then we mention in the next passage there's a war between Aviyam and Yeruvim, because Aviyam is fighting his father's wars. Because the Tate, right, can't fight. He doesn't have it in him. Right? That's the Ralbag's comment. Aviyam, everything else that he did is found in Sefer Divrei Hayomim. There's a war, he dies, he's buried in Ir David, and Asa becomes the king after. End of the story in Divrei, end of the story here in Malachim. In Divrei Hayomim, just the story is slightly different in the sense of Aviyah seems to be a better guy. Here, look at Pasuk Dalet. Look at this speech that he gives in Divrei Hayomim Perek Yugim Pasuk Dalet. Vayokam Aviyam al haTzmarim asher b'har Ephraim vayomishma uni Yeruvim v'chol Yisrael. Halo lachem ladas ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael nasam mamlocha l'David v'chol Yisrael al Yisrael la'olam lo uvan abris melach. Right? You should know that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the kingdom to David and his children bris melach. That expression bris melach is found where? It's a pasuk in Chumash. Right? Melach, Chazal say, salt is a preservative. Salt doesn't allow stuff to rot. No? We don't think of this because we have refrigeration. But pre-refrigeration, melach is a preservative. The bris melach that's given to David is that this malchus is going to continue. He's deliberately playing on that image. Now, melach also has the ability to preserve something, but it also makes it not taste good in that process. No? I'm learning Yerideya in Yeshiva this year, I have to admit. In Yerideya, Simon Sadi Aleph and Kufhei, we have the halacha Moliach Kiroseach, that if I add a lot of salt to meat, So that is the halachic equivalent of cooking the meat, providing it is maliach she'enol necho machmas molcho. I put so much salt on it that the item can't be eaten because of the amount of salt I put in. In other words, it preserves, but it ruins in the process. What I'm trying to argue a teeny bit, like, again, this is drush. I guess I'm a pulpit rabbi, so I'm entitled. But maybe what Avium is saying in this drush is that there's a bris melach. Bris melach meaning, sure, we are a teeny bit corrupt. We're not following exactly the path. But bris melach means, A, it's a preservative, and it's a preservative that even gets a teeny bit ruined in the process, right? There's a the taste of the meat is ruined. You see, for us, we're all spoiled. We have fresh meat, no? And you could refrigerate. It could be fresh weeks and weeks after shechted. Right? They didn't have that. So their meat was melach, which means it's a little bit ruined in the process. It doesn't taste as good, no? What's that meat? I was talking to one of my chavrusas about this recently, so he told me he had just been in South Africa. There's a certain type of bildung. Oh, you're from South Africa, right? But this stuff apparently is extremely salty, but it lasts forever. It has like the half-life of, you know, one of the later atoms. Right? It's unbelievable.
Well, if you don't eat it, it's
going
to last.
Okay.
Bildung?
Huh? Bildung. It's a South African like type of beef jerky.
Oh, I see.
Right. But it's the saltiest stuff on the planet, apparently. Okay. So then Yeravam goes. Vayakum Yeravam ben Nevat Eved Pasuk Vav here in Dirayam, Eved Shlomo ben Dov by Yimrun Aladon Lov. He's giving us the history of who Yeravam is. He says, Yeravam, don't think this guy's so great. He's just a slave of Shlomo, and he gathered Anoshim Reikim b'nei Bliyav, v'yisam to Rechava ben Shlomo, Rechava ha'yonav, v'rach leivav, v'lo hischazek lefnehem. He's attacking Rechavam, and Rechavam is a young, innocent person. And now, you're saying, to fight, to be strong against the Mamlechas Hashem, b'yav b'nei David, you have Avodah Zarah, you're lousy people, basically. That is Aviyam's speech, right? Now, and we have a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we give karbanot to God every morning, every night. Right? It really sounds like Avium is a supremely religious individual who's saying, you disciples of Yeravam, you have, you've turned away. You guys are not keeping the tradition. You are bad people. That's the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Now, the impression you get from Divrei Hayomim is obviously very different than the impression you get from Malachim. In Malachim, Avium is not such a gevaldik guy. In Divrei Hayomim, he comes, of course, pretty good. However, right, first of all, we had the Malbim's read of Malachim that maybe he's not as bad as you thought. And we could also, perhaps, read into Divrei Hayomim that he's not as good as you think. Let's go on. This episode here in Divrei Hayomim, right? There's a war, and here Pasuk Yudalad, they're fighting on two fronts. Panim va'achar, they daven to Hashem. The Kohanim blow. The Kohanim have their chatzotzros, etc. And then Bnei Yisrael run away from Yehuda, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Vayitnei Malokim B'yadam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yisrael over to Yehuda, and Aviya kills them, Maka Rabbah, Yipu Chalolim Yisrael, Chamesh Me'os Elef Ish Bachur. How many people were killed? Chamesh Me'os Elef. 500,000. That is 500,000. That is immense. No? 500,000 people die. Bnei Yisrael are subdued at that time. Bnei Yehuda vayeemtsu. The Malbim comments that imutz is different than chozek. Chozek is an expression of physical strength. Imutz is an expression of
fortitude.
Courage. Fortitude, maybe, or courage. Right? In other words, it's a type of
chazak
personality. Huh? Chazak ve'ematz means go to the weight room and work out. That's chazak. And ematz means, right, have courage. Ah. Then Aviyah goes, and he conquers cities of Yeravam. What are the cities that he conquers? Basel and its suburbs, Yeshana and its suburbs, and Ephron and its suburbs. And Yeravam is defeated, and etc. That's the end of the psukim here. Now, so Aviyam conquers Basel. What do we know about Basel? What does Yeravam have in Basel?
One of his temples.
One in Dan, one in Basel. What would you think a really religious person would do? Someone who gives a whole drush about how bad Avodah Zarah is. What do you think he would do when he conquers this city called Basel?
Raise the temple.
Destroy it, no? Do you see that? Shtetnisht. He doesn't destroy the temples. So here is supremely religious Aviyah, as Divrei HaYomim presents him, right? Giving a tremendous Musar Shmuz. And now he finally conquers the temple, conquers the city of the temple you'd expect. He don't do it. This is already picked up on in the Yerushalmi that we'll see in a minute. And what they're trying to note is that if you read between the lines, this great Musar Shmuz that Aviyah gives doesn't mean he's so religious. You know, sometimes you can have someone who actually has a really long beard, but might not be, right? And the Chazal are drawing that impression.
That seems to be his pattern. He's the bonus, he's the temple.
So Aviyam, again, in Divrei Hayomim, he comes across as being great. In Malachim, he's doing the same sins as his father is doing. Malachim is not so good. What we're trying to show is that even in Divrei Hayomim, it's not so gevaldik. Here, let's pick up on this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, let's pick up from the fourth line of the Yerushalmi. We'll go back to the first three lines in a minute. Ksiv, the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says, V'lo atzar koch Yeravam ol bimei Aviyah, v'yinagfehu Hashem v'yamos, or something, right? And it says in Pasuk Chav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck him and he died. Now, I remember my ninth grade English comp teacher would scream, "The pronouns gotta match the antecedent." Who died? Who was struck? Who died? He actually died, my English teacher from ninth grade. That's not who the pasuk is referring to. So it's unclear. So Amreb Shmuel, at Zavor Shehu Yeravam, Eina Ela Aviyah. You think that Yeravam is the one who died? It's Aviyah who died. The Maharikra actually points out that it can't be that Yeravam really died, just because the chronology of dates won't work out then. Because Aviyah is succeeded by Asa, and the number of years into Asa's reign when Yeravam dies, right? It wouldn't work if Yeravam is the one who died. But okay. But the simple meaning of the pasuk could be that Yeravam died. So Reb Shmuel says, "You think Yeravam died? No, Aviyah died. Why did he die? V'lomen nigef." Reb Yochanan Amar, "Asher chished es Yeravam berabim hadod echsev ve'atem hamon rav v'imchem egleih zahav asher asalachem Yeravam leilokem." The reason why he died is because he suspected Yeravam in public. Now, this could mean one of two things. It could mean, and we saw opinions earlier, that maybe the agolim that Yeravam built were not originally intended as Avodah Zarah. Almost like the Egel HaZahav, right? But maybe originally the intention was not as Avodah Zarah, and from Aviyam's presentation, sounds like it was Avodah Zarah. That's one approach. That he was Chishei Barabim, he suspected him in public of Avodah Zarah, but maybe it wasn't Avodah Zarah. Another approach, though, might be that Chazal are telling us in this Yerushalmi that if you want to give someone Musar, don't do it in public. Asher Chishei Es Yeravam, we're talking about Yeravam ben Nevat, right? He is one of the people who's Einol Chelak Olam Haba, but still, because Aviyam Chishei Barabim, that's why he was that's why he was punished. Well, that's one approach. That's Reb Yochanan. Even though he's Chotei Machti as Harabim, Zokni Yerushalmi, you're not supposed to chastise him in public. Again, there are many lessons that we can draw from this, but at least according to Reb Yochanan, again, I think according to Reb Yochanan Yerushalmi, Reb Yochanan's opinion here in the Yerushalmi, that's why he was punished. If you look in the Musar HaNeviim, someone from the show gave it to me. I started saying the Shiurim. So in the Musar HaNeviim, he has a little discussion about whether it's appropriate to give Musar V'Rabim for someone who is a public sinner. You get an impression from this Yerushalmi, not so. Reish Lakish Amar, Al Shebiza Esachia Hashiloni, Hadodich Sivai Kabsu Elov Anashim B'nei V'Liyal, Adetzavach L'Achia Hashiloni. Meaning to say, Achia Hashiloni anointed Yerovam as king, and the way Aviyam presents it is that empty people gather towards Yerovam. What do you mean, empty people? Yerovam is king because the Ribbono Shel Olam told him to be king, no? So therefore, he's being punished because he is being mevaza Achia Hashiloni, even though Lamaisa, there were empty people who are gravitating towards Yerovam, but the Gemaras in the Dorim speak about if I am going to give a curse, I shouldn't give a very general curse, or I shouldn't put a general neder. The Gemara in the Dorim talks about someone whose cherries are being stolen by lots of people, and I shouldn't say whoever stole the cherries is going to get it, because your father may have taken one or two cherries from that also, and you don't want to even for a second convey that your father is the ganav. That's approach two. Rabbanan Amri. The third approach here in the Yerushalmi is the Rabbanan say, Al Shabbos, Ayyidei Shabbos Avodazor Liyado, Velo Biara, Haduhu Dechsiv Ayyirdo, If Avia Achre Yerevan, Bayuka, Des Arim Espesa, Ves Mnoseha, Unksiv Ayyosim Esechav Vesa, Ves Echad Nosem Nidon. Meaning to say, the sin that Aviyam did, reading between the lines, Aviyam is not hitting a home run here. Right? Because he didn't get rid of the Avodazorah. Just like one quick halachic point at the beginning of this Yerushalmi, the reason why this is in Yerushalmi and Yevamis, is the pasuk says that Aviyah hit a makkah gedolah ma'od, 500,000 people died, right? Which we pointed out is immense. Chazal are saying, I think, Amar Abba Bar Kahana, just the first line of this Yerushalmi, Shehevir hakaras b'nehem, there's a halacha of classical aguna. A classical aguna is a woman whose husband is presumed dead, but we don't have evidence that he's dead, so she can't remarry. The whole end of Yevamis discusses complicated cases of... It turned out the year that I was learning this in the Kol HaOyon in Yeshiva was the year of the World Trade Center, and like none of us thought that this would be Lamaisa, but we were having Dine Torah. I remember almost every day, Rav Shechter would sit in the front of the Beis Medrash with Rabbi Willig and usually Rabbi Danny Rapp. That was the Beis Din, and they would come and bring evidence to try to be matir. One of my friends in college, this guy Mark Rosenberg, he used to do my linear algebra homework for me. I had to deal with him. I'd help him with his Bible homework. He'd help me with linear algebra. And he was killed in the World Trade Center. I was actually present when his wife got chalitza. We had to collect evidence as much as possible to try to be matir the wise. That's classical aguna, right? A woman is not free to remarry unless you halachically can identify that the husband is dead, and you need, the Gemara says, what we call hakaras panim, which is the chotam and the padachas. You need like the nose and the forehead. You have to be able to identify the face. Zok the Yerushalmi, that what Aviyam did is he killed the people in a way that there is no longer hakaras panim, that they couldn't recognize the dead. Reb Ami says he had mishmaros there for 3 days. The Gemara says that when a corpse is exposed for a few days, the face begins to change and you can't identify it anymore. Now, just 2 points over here. One point is, one could argue that this drush in the Yerushalmi is here to minimize the pasuk. In other words, the pasuk says 500,000 people were killed. That sounds massive. Maybe the pshat is like the Yerushalmi, not really 500,000 people were killed, but because the women couldn't remarry, so what we're saying is the future Doros were killed off also, and that, again, this is my conjecture, but perhaps that's the pshat. But just as a matter of halacha, There's a huge literature about this. Rabbi Nutam has a shita there in Taisus and Yevamis that this idea that we need parts of Hapanim v'Hachotam is only if you don't have the guf shalem. If you have what like the psychologists call like gestalt theory, if you have the entire body, so I can identify, I need parts of Hapanim v'Hachotam if I only have part of it. So I have to identify specific parts of the body. I need what they call simonim. But if I have the entire corpse there, so I don't need simonim. If I could walk over, I could say I could recognize it. Even though, like, how do I know you're you? There's no one particular body part I know that you're you, but I look at you, it's you. Right?
Yeah.
To identify a corpse, if it's a complete corpse, so then generally you can identify it.
But not like the Pasuk says Ish Bachur, which you wouldn't use that for future generations. Say, select people, right?
Well, again, or it could mean, right, he killed some Ish Bachur, and the this is just my theory,
okay,
how he got there. But the fact is, the Yerushalmi is saying that what Aviyah did is he killed them, and then he
disfigured
them in a way that the wives would not be able to get remarried. Rabbeinu Tam said, what?
Why did they do such a thing?
So apparently you get the impression that this might have been a serious chit that he did. He was wrong, even though the Pesukim of the Rei Yom say he's gevaldik,
right,
but not so gevaldik. Alternatively, he really didn't want Malchus Yisrael to continue at all, and this is the way of destroying it. But as a matter of halacha, you have to come up with some way that what he did would not allow the bodies to be identified, even according to Rabbi Nutam. In Evan Ezra Siman Yud Zayin, it's like I think one of the longest simanim in Shulchan Aruch, right? The Siman Maharbi Matir Naguna. That Siman Yud Zayin, Evan Ezra, it goes on forever. So in Siman Yud Zayin, so we paskin like the Rabbi Nutam. We paskin that if you have a general feeling, you see a body, I say, I know that's who it is. I remember as a kid, there's a Marcus Lehman story about this, about the person who they bring up from the bottom of the river, and like one rabbi in town says that they couldn't identify the body properly and didn't allow the boys to say Kaddish at the funeral, and the reform rabbi said no, he can say Kaddish. And the end of the story that they find out is that the person at the bottom of the river who had actually the wallet on him or something, that's why Marcus Lehman said, it turned out that like somebody had come and had tried to steal the wallet from this guy when he was crossing a bridge, and the guy fought back, and he pushed this guy who had taken his wallet into the river, and then he was like so disoriented he like ran away, and this guy came back years later, and the rabbi who didn't allow the child to say Kaddish was vindicated. Am I the only one who read these stories as a kid? Whatever. Fine. So that is the story of Aviyam. Very complicated. Okay, let's just talk about Asa for a few minutes. Time is getting late already. Year 20 of Yeravam, Asa becomes the king. Asa rules for 41 years. What's interesting to note throughout Sefer Melachim is that the righteous kings, Bederach Klal, longer than the non-righteous kings. And the mother of Asa is also Macha Bas Avshalom. Problem. If the mother of Aviyam, who's his father, is Macha, so I mean the mother. So obviously it means the grandmother, not the mother. And this leads many Mefarshim to comment that there is a position in Malchus Yehuda that began with Ris HaMoaviyah called Ima Shel Malchus, which is also referred to as the Gevira. There was a position, there was like a special throne that was designated for the senior woman in the kingdom, the king mother, right? That is who Macha was, and Macha retained that position with her, right, with her grandson, Asa as king. Asa is gevaldik. Asa does what's good, like David did. He removes znus, vayaver ha-kedeshim in arts. Last time we explained kedeshim is like temple prostitutes of sorts. Vayosas ha-gilulim, he removes the avodah zarah. He removes ma'acha, vayisireha mi-gevira. He removes her from her position of prominence. She built this mifletzes. Mifletzes is understood by the Gemara in Sota in two different ways. One way of Mifletzes, simply it's an avodah zarah. Another version of Chazal is that Mifletzes had like a certain sexual connotation, was something that she used to stimulate herself with, and that was removed by Asa. Effectively, the Avodah Zarah and the Znus are always linked in Tanakh, right? Sexual immorality and Avodah Zarah are always connected. Macha represented both of these. She is removed, and hence the Avodah Zarah and the Znus are both gone, but he doesn't remove the Bamos, but he was a religious guy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's entire time. The impression you get from the Pasuk is that not removing the Bamos is not so bad. Now, Bamos is Asr. There's an Isr Shkutei Chutz. You can't bring Karbanos, right, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. You have a Beis HaMikdash now. So, why is removing the Bamos not bad? So, the standard approach, like what Alex Israel has in his Sefer on Malachim, is that Sefer Malachim is all about the Beis HaMikdash and the sin that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash is Avodah Zarah. Anything that's not Avodah Zarah is not really bad by Malachim perspective. That's his approach. However, the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva takes the approach that Rak HaBamos Lo Saru, that this in some ways is a mitzvah. Meaning to say, also made a cheshbon. He said, if I'm going to take away, with the Bam, at least they're worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're worshipping God. They're doing an Aveira. But maybe I should allow people to do a lower level Aveira of worshipping God on a Bama, rather than, if I'll take them away, they'll worship Avodah Zarah. The Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva, again, there's a whole discussion in the poskim about whether you can sometimes give people advice for miyot hachet. There's some Rabbi Sol Salantra story about the guy who comes to him, says, I'm smoking on Shabbos. What did I do? Rabbi Sol Salantra said, smoke one less cigarette. No? So, is that appropriate rabbinic advice? According to this Chassam Sofer, it's like a collector's item, no? The Chassam Sofer is saying that Rak HaBamos Lo Saru isn't really an Aveira, because it's being Bocher Hara B'Miyutel. It's choosing, right? Again, you have... The lesser of two evils. You have to be very careful. I mean, this is dangerous stuff, no? But that's a suggestion that the Chassam Sofer has. Also, basically brings to the Beis HaMikdash the things that Shlomo HaMelech had been makdish earlier. There's a fight between Asa and Baasha. Baasha goes in Pasuk Yud Zayin, let's just talk about this very briefly, and he builds this thing called the Rama. Levilti teis yotze vava la'asa melech Yehuda. Not to allow people to come and go to Asa. Asa takes all the money, he gives it to Ben-Hadad, who is the king in Aram, and he's in Damascus, and he says, listen, Ben-Hadad, I have a treaty with you, my father had a treaty with you, take this money and go fight against Baasha. And Ben-Hadad does that, and then they go and they defeat Baasha, and then they stop building the Rama, and all is grand. That's basically the story. Now, just to fill in a few details over here, I know time is late, so I'll try to go quicker. What is this Rama? We have no idea what it is. But the suggestion, based on the Pesukim in Devar Yomim, Perek Tesavah, there's just too many Pesukim to photocopy, is that the Rama is that Baasha recognizes that the Malchus Yehuda has the upper hand. People in Yisrael didn't want to be in Yisrael anymore. Because you have to remember, Baasha became king by killing Nadav, the son of Yeravam. There was battles all over, fights for succession. People don't like living in a country where you don't know who the leader is. So they start running away, going down to Yehuda. Well, the king don't like that. So he builds a Rama, which is a separation wall, and he's saying, now, right? That's one approach. The other thing might be that King Aviyam, the father of Asa, had conquered some territory from Malchus Yisrael, Basel, etc. And what Baasha's doing is he's building a wall and he's realigning the border to incorporate area that he previously had. Oh, that's an act of war. That's an act of war. Therefore, right, what Asa does is he reaches out to Ben-Hadad. He tells Ben-Hadad that I have a treaty with you. My fathers had a treaty with you. If you read the Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim, what really happened is like this. Ben-Hadad had a treaty with Baasha, with the king of Yisrael. And comes along, this is all in the Kli Yoker over here, comes along Asa, and Asa says, whoa, one second. You have a treaty with Baasha, my treaty predates your treaty. Because I have it, my father's, your father's, therefore your treaty is off. And he goes for it, and Baasha ends up being killed, and the Rama, but he loses, and the Rama is taken down, they stop building the Rama. Baasha lives in the town called Tirzah. We saw Tirzah already as a capital that Yeravam had built, but the Targum over here translates Tirzah as a sense of Ratzutz. He's like all tzeshmetered. He's all destroyed. He's all beaten up. Asa says, we're amazing, let's get rid of the Rama, and that's what they do. And then Asa dies, and that's the story. It sounds from this pasuk, from these pasukim, that Asa is truly amazing, but as we like to do, there might be slight indications that's not so amazing. In Alex Israel Sefer, what he argues is as follows. There's indications in the Pesukim that he's not so amazing. Here, where's the last Pesuk over here? Pesuk Chav Gimel. Le'esik nasocha la esraglov. When Asa is old, his feet get sick. Now, Chazal are bothered, why did his feet get sick? And Chazal say, the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud says his feet got sick because Asa Energia B'Talmidei Chachamim. Right? Asa made an announcement that everybody has to go and dismantle the Rama, including the Talmidei Chachamim. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to put Talmidei Chachamim to work. Right? Talmidei Chachamim not supposed to work at all. So therefore, right, because Asa Energia B'Talmidei Chachamim, that's the Aveira that he did. That's why it's Chola Es Ragla. That's the Gemara in Sota. The Ralbag, however, has a different take. The Ralbag here, I give you this, the very end of this Ralbag, he deals with like a dating issue as to when this war took place. And he writes that the Malchus is beginning to return to Asa, but the Chet was Zeh HaChet Haya Shesom basar zero'o b'mesha shalach el ben hadad melech haram v'lo batach b'ashem ashehipil machne hakushim lefonov, etc. Zok the Ralbag, the sin that Asa did is that he reached out to ben hadad. You're not supposed to reach out to a foreign force. Have bitachon in Hashem. That's one approach. In other words, take care of it yourself, Hashem will protect you. Don't reach out to a foreign enemy. Especially because what we have over here is a civil war between Jews. And what you're doing now is you're bringing government, foreign government authorities in against a brother, against another Jew. That's not proper. That may have been the sin of Asa. And the sin is Chola Esraglov, that his feet, the feet is what supports you, got ill. Again, if the sin is that he inappropriately brought Talmidei Chachamim to work, so the Talmidei Chachamim is supposed to be the source, the supports of the Jewish people, and that's why his feet were ill, because the supports for him were taken out. That's one approach. But it could also be, and the Chol Ha'es Raglav means that his support is supposed to be the Ribono Shel Olam. And instead, he's reaching out to foreign support. That's why he suffered. This is very similar to the sin of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro. What he was trying to do is think politically, strategically, try to unite the empires. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know what, don't do that. Don't try to make these political calculations. Don't do that. Interesting to note, Rama, again, this is something that Alex Israel has. I think it's good for a drasha. The word Rama is very famous in Tanakh in Yirmiyahu. Ko b'rama nishma nihi b'chei tanu. Tamarim, Rachel is crying. Now, why is Rachel crying? Maybe the cry is over Rama. The cry is over civil war between Jews. And the fact that you are not making peace. You're trying to bring a foreign army in. Maybe that's why Rachel is crying. Perhaps. perhaps the bechia is also based on this type of idea, which is just how bad machlokes, how bad civil war among Jews is. This might be the first real civil war. Again, the war between Yerovam and Rechavam, and this is a continuation of it, apparently. These are the first times we really see civil wars, in the sense of armies mounting. The Navi Shemaya told Rechavam, give up, he listened, but that didn't last too long, and throughout the rest of the Sefer, we're going to see almost constant war between them. So, once again, thank you for listening, and have a good night.